be in the book of Zechariah this morning. Zechariah, if you're just getting familiar with your Bible, no, that's not a new book. There is a book of Zechariah in your Bible. If you'll turn to Matthew and you'll flip back just two chapters, it'll be Malachi, then Zechariah. We'll be in Zechariah chapter 7 this morning, reading verses 8 through 12. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 through 12. If you'll stand with me once you've found Zechariah chapter 7 this morning. I'll be reading on the even verses 8, 10, and 12. If you'll help me out there on verses 9 and 11 this morning. Reading in Zechariah chapter 7, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should not hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, again, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the preaching of it. Lord, I pray you be with the special. And Lord, I pray you just bless our hearts before the message. Be with the preacher, be with his voice. Give us a good service this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Each other's action, hope, and piety. You appreciate the good song. And what a good truth this morning. Of course, that's our prayer, that God is near in this service. Amen. And as He draws near to us, He'll draw near to us if we'll draw nigh to Him, what the Bible teaches. Good music for us today. Now, I want you to draw your attention and see in verse number 11. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. I want to speak to you this morning on the wrong time to use earplugs. The wrong time to use earplugs. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, will You please help us today? We do want You to be near, and we have tried to draw close to You this morning. God, we prayed, and we came to church this morning anxious with an expectant spirit that You would draw near to us as Your Word says. I believe, Lord, Your Spirit's in this auditorium, and where He is, there's liberty. I pray we'll have a great service. Help me, I pray, to be a vessel that You can use during these moments. Speak to our hearts. I ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. I won't ask you ladies to raise your hands. I don't want to embarrass your husband, but I was just curious as how many of you have to sleep with earplugs because your husband is a bad snorer. And I don't know if I snore or not. I've never heard myself, so I don't know. My wife says the older I get, it's getting a little worse. So that's what she says. I have to take her word for it. I do know I went hunting with a brother here in the church one time several years ago. We were hunting a couple of hours away, and we were going to hunt an evening and a morning, so we decided to get a motel room, you know, split the cost and stay together and hunt so we could hunt there. And whenever I'm with somebody I've never spent the night in a room with before, I'm trying to get to sleep before they do, because I don't know whether or not they snore, and I don't want to be kept awake. Have you ever tried to go to sleep quickly when you're trying to go to sleep quickly? It never happens. And so I'm trying to go to sleep quickly, but I don't beat the brother in the other bed. And all I know is I had pillows over my head, and I was laying there, and I heard this. Honestly, it was like a chainsaw. It was like, I thought I can lay here and try to put up with this, or I can go to. So I went downstairs to the lady. She was asked by 1 o'clock in the morning, and I said, "Ma'am, do you have any rooms for rent?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, I've been in this room." I said, "The guy in the other bed, he is. Look, I don't want the room next to ours. I want it across the hall, because I was positive that the sound would come through the wall." And so I got across the hallway. And I didn't know what he was going to think when if he woke up in the morning and I wasn't there. Maybe that the rapture came, he got left behind. Amen. But anyway, I spent one night in a room with Keith Gomez, and I spent one and only one. I will never spend another one in there without earplugs. I carry earplugs with me now everywhere I go if I travel somewhere, because you never know what you're going to run into when it comes to noise. Now, you know, I was thinking this week, there are a lot of experiences you go through rearing children. Some make you laugh, some make you cry, some make you happy, some make you angry. Now, I don't know if your children ever pulled one of those stunts on you where you were really getting on them about something or giving them a long list of chores to do and they plug their ears. They just do this. Or I've seen kids with each other do that. You know, they'll be out playing, siblings or neighborhood kids, you know, and they can get so mad, you know, they'll plug their ears. And, you know, hopefully, if something like that happened, maybe it was when they were third grade, not 17, I hope. But anyway, regardless, I doubt that if that happened to you, no matter what age, you didn't respond very favorably to somebody who plugged their ears when you're trying to talk to them. One thing to plug your ears when you're trying to go to sleep, somebody's snoring loud, but another thing altogether, when somebody's trying to talk and somebody plugs their ears. And that verse 11 says that that's what the children of Israel did. They stopped their ears. Only they did it to God as He was speaking to them through the former prophets. Now, verse number 7 tells us, that, we don't have time to read all this, but I want to kind of give you the setting. Zechariah is talking to a group of people from the children of Israel, but he's telling them a story about some of their forefathers. Okay? He's telling them a story about something that took place maybe 80, 85, 90 years prior to when he's speaking to them in this passage. Okay? Prior to their time, about 75, 80, 85, 90 years. Now, again, I want to remind you, like I did our crowd on Wednesday night, that 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that all the things that happened to the children of Israel in the Old Testament were written and recorded for our learning. That is, all of us in this room who are New Testament Christians can learn something from the things that happened to the children of Israel. Now, Zechariah wants the people he's talking to learn a lesson from their ancestors. And the Bible has recorded this story for you and me in 2012 to learn something as well. I want to speak about this stopping of their ears today. The wrong time to use earplugs. Now, Zechariah tells them in verses 9 and 10 that God gave their forefathers some very specific and simple instructions. I see three of them in verse 9 and 10. He said the Lord told them to execute true judgment. And then God told them, number two, to show mercy and compassion, every man to his brother. Then there's a colon, and then the things that follow in verse 10 explain what that means. If he's going to show mercy and compassion, you don't oppress the widows, and you don't oppress the fatherless, and you don't oppress the stranger, and you don't oppress the poor. And so he explains that rule number two, or law number two. And then he gives them a third instruction. He says, let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. So Zechariah says to the people he's talking to, he said, the former prophets, God spoke to them, and they told the people to do these three basic commandments. And yet, the Bible says, that Zechariah told his people, told the people there, that those people stopped their ears. They plugged their ears. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Three things I want to show you from this passage. First, I want you to notice these three things. Number one, I want you to see the time of this story. The time of this story. What time is it? What's going on when Zechariah is telling the people about this story? Well, we have to get the setting of this book to understand the time of this story. Verse number 1 in chapter 7 tells us that Darius was in the fourth year of his reign as king. Now, Darius reigned after the children of Israel had been in captivity for 70 years. And then before he became king, the captivity ended. Cyrus was the king then. And King Cyrus opened the door for the children of Israel to leave Babylon, where they had been in captivity for 70 years, and go back to Jerusalem to rebuild their city, to re-inhabit their land. One of the saddest things you'll do is see that there were very few, really, percentage-wise, there was a very small percentage of Jews that went back to their homeland from Babylon. They got comfortable with the life in Babylon, and when they had the opportunity to go back to Jerusalem, they didn't go. They stayed in Babylon. And Cyrus the king was the one who was the king that gave the decree, go back and inhabit Jerusalem and rebuild the walls and do all that. All right? Well, Darius followed Cyrus. Many Jews returned to Jerusalem. Some of the Jews were older than 70. Now, what does that mean? That means that they were living in Jerusalem before the captivity started, because they're only in Babylon for 70 years. So some of them were older than 70. They had seen the first temple. Others of them were younger than 70. That meant they were born in Babylon during the captivity. And so you've got this mixture of young and old going from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And when they get back to Jerusalem, this group of Jews begins to either rebuild or build the temple. He said, but Brother Angel, why would you make a distinction there? Rebuild or build? Rebuild because the older ones had seen the first temple and remembered it. Build because the younger ones had never seen the temple at all. If you're familiar with your Bible, in the book of Ezra, they lay the foundation for that temple. It's been rebuilt and they lay the foundation. And the Bible says, when they laid the foundation, some of the people wept and some of the people shouted for joy. The ones that were weeping were the older Jews. The ones that were shouting for joy were the younger ones who had never seen the temple to begin with. And while the older ones were weeping, remembering the first temple, the young Jews were shouting with joy because they'd never been a part of anything like that before. So here's what you got. The older ones are rebuilding. The younger ones are building. And Zechariah preaches that crowd right there. That crowd, the crowd that went back from Babylon into Jerusalem, Zechariah preaches them this simple message about their forefathers, the people who stopped their ears, the people who refused to hear the former prophets. They stopped their ears. And this history was about the people who lived before the captivity. And Jeremiah was saying, don't be like your forefathers. Hey, whether you're old or whether you're young, whether you're here to build or rebuild, don't be like your forefathers. Don't stop your ears when the Lord speaks. Now, let me say this morning, friend. No matter how long or short you've been saved, if you are an old Christian or a young Christian, no matter if you are rebuilding as a child of God or if you are building, and by that I mean you've been saved for some time but you wandered away from the Lord and now you're trying to rebuild a life for God, or you've just been saved and you're trying to build a life for God. Whether you've been saved for 5 years or 65 years, whether you've been saved for 5 months or 50 years, no one should ever plug their ears when God speaks. Never plug your ears when God speaks. Now stop and think about how ludicrous it is for any person to stop their ears when the God of all creation speaks. Think about how ludicrous that is. That's nuts. That's nonsense. Makes no sense at all for people, the creation, to stop their ears when the Creator tries to speak to them. Makes no sense. Has no reason. None whatsoever. Somebody might say, well, Brother Angel, they didn't stop their ears toward God. They stopped their ears toward the prophets who were preaching. Can I tell you this morning, friend, that God didn't look at it that way? God didn't look at it that they were stopping their ears to the prophets. God took it personally. Look at verse number 12. Look at what it says here. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. You see what Zechariah told these people? He said, the words that your forefathers stopped their ears to were words that God sent to the former prophets. They were not stopping their ears when the prophet was preaching. They were stopping, they were stopping their ears toward God. God took it personally when the people stopped their ears to God's messenger. Now I want you to notice, it is important that the message the prophets preached came from God. You'll see that in verse number 8 and verse number 9 and verse number 12. Listen, folks, a prophet could not just... Let me have that water, Brother Bray. Thank you. I always think it's getting better, and it's good for about 5 or 10 minutes. I think it's getting better. But it's only good for a certain amount of time. A prophet in the Old Testament could not just preach what he thought. He could not just preach his opinion. Oh, look, there were those preachers around. Jeremiah talked about it. And God said, where did you get this message? Where did this come from? I didn't give you that to speak. You're just standing up there giving your own opinion, your own thoughts, your own ideas. And you know what God told the people about that? He said, you know what that's like, folks? That's like chaff. Chaff. Chaff blows away. Chaff has no nutrition. Chaff has no substance. It has no protein. Won't do anything for you. So what he was saying was, some of those Old Testament prophets, false prophets, they were just standing up giving their own ideas, their own opinions, their own perceptions, and it didn't amount to a hill of beans. But I want to tell you something. God said, when my men stand up with my message in their mouth, and I have touched them and given them a message from my mouth, and I expect them to preach it as it's been given, when they preach, that's not chaff. That is wheat. It has nutrition. It has substance. It has protein. It's good. Now, friend, do you realize, as a preacher in this New Testament day and age, it is mandatory that I make sure the messages you hear come from God. That's why we encourage you to bring your Bible to these services so that you can look and see what I'm preaching from, where I'm preaching from, what I'm preaching. And if what I'm preaching doesn't line up with what's written in this book right here, it's chaff. It's no good. It's just a bunch of junk. But friend, if what I'm preaching lines up with what is written in this book right here, don't plug your ears. Don't plug your ears. Look, it really has nothing to do with whether or not you like me. I have more respect for a man who would say, you know, I come to this church. It's not because I like that preacher so much, but what he preaches, I can find in this book right here. Because it really doesn't matter if you like me or not. But if you come and you sit in these pews and you can see that the message is Bible-based, you know what that means? That means it came from the very, very mouth of the Lord. And when you see it coming out of this book, friend, don't plug your ears. It's ludicrous. I'll say it again. It is ludicrous for us as people to plug our ears to the words of God. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. Do you listen? Do you listen? Do you listen to the words that God gives the preacher to say? Do you listen? Wednesday night, I kind of preached a little message. Didn't really teach Wednesday night. Pardon me just a minute. Didn't really preach. I didn't teach a Bible study out of the book of Acts. Just preached a standalone message. In the crowd, in the congregation, because we had Hearts United and got this preacher coming in Wednesday night. In the crowd Wednesday night was a little boy. Probably fourth grade, fifth grade. Brother Caleb picked him up and brought him into church with his mother's permission. And little guy has no dad. His dad was murdered some months ago. And we've been trying to minister to the family. Little guy put his tie on. Came to church with Brother Caleb on Wednesday night. Had a pair of blue jeans and a shirt and a tie. And came sat in the service Wednesday night. During the Bible study on Wednesday night, during the message, I was talking about ribbons of blue out of the book of Numbers. And I started talking about colors in the Bible, what they represent. I talked about what the color white represents, what the color red represents, what the color black represents, what the color blue represents. If you were here, maybe you remember that. Brother Caleb told me the next day or two, that little fellow went home on Wednesday night. He'd gotten a text from, or a phone call from the mother. He said, my goodness, man, it must have really made an impact. He came home and he told me what that color in the Bible means and what this color in the Bible means and what this color in the Bible means and what this color in the Bible means. He told me everything Pastor Angel said. And he said, boy, it must have been very important to Pastor Angel because he really got loud. That kid got it. That kid got it. I would say they're probably teenagers, and the adults here Wednesday night didn't get it. Because people come to church and do God a favor by plopping down in the pew and then leave patting themselves in the back that I did a good deed. The truth of the matter is, friend, when this book is opened and a Bible lesson is preached or taught or whatever you want to call it from this thing, I'm sorry, don't really call it thing, this book right here, God expects us to listen. I'd hate to be standing by that little boy and have to give an account someday for a message that I heard but didn't hear. A little boy whose dad didn't have a dad and whose mother wasn't here, but he heard. He didn't plug his ears. No matter where you are in your Christian life, no matter where I am in my Christian life, when it is my turn to sit and listen in a message, friend, I don't want to plug my ears. I want to have my ears open to the Word of God and what God has for me from His book. Now, number two, I want to show you something else tonight, this morning. Number two, not only the time of this story, but I want to show you, and bear with me just a minute, I'll explain this, the tether of their stopping. Now, that's a word that we don't use much in the English vocabulary today, tether. The tether of their stopping. You say, what do you mean by the word tether? By tether, I mean tied. I mean tied. Out by the jungle gym out here, the playground, there. Is that still out there, Brother Bragg? Is the tetherball still out there? We have a tetherball pole. You ever play tetherball as a kid? And I enjoyed that. It's a pole, and then there's a rope. And on one end of the rope, that one end of the rope is tied to a ball. The other end of the rope is tied to the top of that pole. And two people get there, and they try to wrap the ball around, depending on which way they're going. And they hit that ball, try to wrap it around. The other guy tries to prevent it from doing that. That ball is tethered to that pole by the rope. Right? That ball is tied to the pole, and the pole tied to the ball by the rope. That ball is tethered to that pole. Now, I want you to notice the tether of their stopping. This is important. I don't want you to miss this. Look at verse number 11. They refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. So there they go. They'd stop their ears, plug their ears. Now look at verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. Now the word heart means very hard. Very hard. Their hearts became very hard. Can I say this morning, people, that they probably did not intend to harden their hearts to God? In fact, they might have even said to themselves, when those former prophets were preaching, they might have even said to themselves, I'm not going to give this much thought. I'm not going to give this a lot of attention. I'll be okay. But I'm not going to give this a lot of thought or a lot of regard. I'll be all right. But I want you to see what they didn't know. What they didn't know was that their heart was tethered to their ears. And when they decided, I will not hear this, their heart hardened. When they decided, I'm not going to give this much regard, whether they meant to or not, their heart hardened. So when they stopped their ears, at the same time, they made their heart hard. And people, when you and I refuse to hear the messages from God, our hearts become hard or harder because our hearts are tethered to our ears. There is no way you and I can refuse to hear God's message and not have it affect our hearts. Because our hearts are tethered to our ears. They're tied together. When I stop my ears, when I plug my ears, my heart automatically hardens. You know what? You know why that is? Because it's an act of the will. Did you also notice in verse number 11, they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder? You ever had a child do that when you were talking to them and they turned their head? They're turning away. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to hear what you want to say. And when the Bible here is telling you and me that when Zechariah is telling these people that when the former prophets stood to preach and your ancestors stopped their ears, at the same time they were also hardening their hearts. Friend, do you understand how dangerous it is to harden your heart to the things of God? That is serious business. Oh, one of the things that you and I need more than anything else is a very soft and tender heart. Like a little cup full of Play-Doh that can be molded and pressed and influenced. You know, I was thinking this week, man, and I'm as guilty as anybody. I remember when I first got saved. You know what I was when I first got saved? I was a little expression that you heard. I was all ears. Were you that way? Especially if you got saved later in life. Maybe if you got saved as a kid. I was all ears. Obviously, it can happen to kids. This little fourth grade, fifth grade boy was all ears the other night. I was all ears. What do I mean by that? Man, when I went to church, I was all ears. Hey, come on, man. Tell me. And don't pussyfoot around. Don't beat around the bush. Tell it to me straight. I enjoyed it when a man got up and had some emotion. I enjoyed it when a man got up and he had a little fire in his belly. I enjoyed it. I had to sit through some other words that were okay. But man, I enjoyed it when a fella could read the Word of God and point out line upon line and precept upon precept and had a little fire in his soul and enthusiasm for the Lord. And I was all ears. The White Sox had that little phrase last year, all in, I'm all in. Are you all in? I was all in, buddy. I was all ears. Tell me. And you know what I realized about my life back then? At the same time that I was all ears, I was soft-hearted. But as soon as I decided, I ain't paying attention to that, my heart hardened. It's a subtle thing. Because our hearts are tethered to our ears. Our ears are tethered to our hearts. And the first time, friend, that you and I refuse to hear God's Word and we stop our ears and maybe we turn away our shoulder a little bit, then our heart hardens just a little bit. And it's a dangerous, dangerous thing to develop a hard heart to the things of God. Listen to me. This happens very subtly over time. It doesn't happen overnight. It would be a horrible thing to wake up one day and find yourself in a condition of being so hard to God, nothing moves you. I've met people like that. Just hard as a rock. You said, man, what happened last night that made them so hard? Didn't happen last night. It happened over a period of time when they heard the Word of God and they plugged their ears and they heard God's message and plugged their ears. And every time they plugged their ears, their heart just got a little harder and a little harder and a little harder until it became like an adamant stone. I'm amazed sometimes. I'm amazed to sit across from people who would just brazenly speak of how they're not going to do a certain thing and they don't believe what the Bible says about that, and yet I'm just as close to God today as I've ever been. Deceived. Totally deceived. Soft heart. Man, I was preaching on Tuesday in our Christian school, our chapel time, this past Tuesday. This blessed me. And I was preaching. I'm glad I can tell this story because contrary to what some folks say, we do have some good kids. We have some soft-hearted kids in the school. We got some kids who are not soft-hearted. But we got some soft-hearted kids in the school. I preached a message in chapel on Tuesday, and on Wednesday I was it was Wednesday. They were coming over here for the high school was coming over for music or something Wednesday, and one of the young ladies in the senior high. She had some papers with her, and she had the papers, and she said, "Preacher," she said, "can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." And she said, "This is a skit we're doing for convention, and we're working on this skit." And she said, "If you would you read that first paragraph of this skit? Because when I look at this now in light of what you preached yesterday, I'm not real comfortable." And I looked at that first paragraph, and it was directly the subject matter of what I had talked about the day before, 24 hours earlier. And that young lady sat in that room, upstairs in the Spanish auditorium where we have our chapel. We have a good time. Brother Hall and Brother Bragg do a tremendous job. Have fun. Played some games, and we have a service. It's good. I enjoy it. I love being there. The thing I miss when I travel to preach, I miss being in chapel. I mean, whenever I'm in town, I'm there. And I really enjoy it. And that young lady sat in that room on Tuesday morning, and she heard a chapel message. Chapel messages are usually about 25 minutes in length. But she could see from her Bible that what I was talking about was right there in the Word of God. And not 24 hours later, she was faced with an issue in her life that message reflected on. And praise God for a soft heart that was tender to what God had said to her 24 hours earlier. That young lady put me under conviction. I thought to myself, oh dear God, please help me to keep my heart in this kind of condition. I don't want a hard heart toward God. I don't want to harden my heart and deceive myself over time into believing that I can continue to hear God's Word and do nothing about it and I'll be okay. That's not true. That's deceptive. Because our ears and our hearts are tethered together. And what God does and says in my ear, I need to respond to it favorably and in obedience and in a good time frame. Or else my heart becomes harder. God, deliver us from this hard heart. So you see, number one, the time of this story. Number two, you see the tether of their stopping. When they stopped their ears, their heart got hard. And now let me say number three this morning, and I'll be done. The tragedy of their situation. The tragedy of their situation. Look at verse number 13. We didn't read this with Brother Bragg a moment ago just for sake of time. Probably should have had him read it. Look at what it says. Here's the tragedy of their situation. Remember now, they heard the former prophets and they stopped their ears. Therefore, it has come to pass that as he cried, God cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh my goodness. God said, these people came and they cried to me. And they called out to me. And God said, I didn't hear. You're not going to listen to me? I'm not going to listen to you. We have a funny Christianity today. We have a strange Christianity today. I can claim Jesus Christ as my Savior and just do whatever flip I want to do and go wherever I want to go, and then I can run into church when I need God. And He'll come down and deliver me. That's strange to this book. That's strange to this book. Where we ever got there. I'll tell you where it came from. All this unconditional love. And you know, I probably preach on that some Sunday. I thought the other day, I need to draw my the Spirit of God. I was drawing my attention to preach on the love of God. In certain ways, it is unconditional. But friend, you mark my words this morning. You're not going to treat God like the usher or the waiter at the restaurant and ignore Him until you need your drink replaced. And then call Him. And then, oh, yep. You think God's going to be treated? I'm not going to be treated like that. He's too holy. He's too high. He's too lifted up. He's too almighty. He's the Creator. We are the creation. I don't snap my fingers at God. The truth of the matter is, God responds to me in the same way I respond to Him. And the Bible says, if I will draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to me. But if I plug my ears to what He says over and over and over again, God says, you're not just going to come and get my attention, and I'm going to go, oh, what can I do for you? No, sir, not in 1,000 years. I can't imagine being in such a condition where I needed God so badly and tried to pray only for God to say, well, no, I'm not responding. Look, God is merciful and He's faithful and He is long-suffering and very compassionate. And I am not saying if you blow it that you can't come back to God. But this idea that I can command God around like I do the waiter over here at Baker Square, that is foreign to the Word of God. Foreign to the Bible. I don't snap my fingers at Him. I approach Him. Hallowed be Thy name. It's respect and admiration. Man. Thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. It's called the law of sowing and reaping, folks. I'm out of time. And I could take you over to Proverbs chapter 1 where God said, I spoke to them and they laughed. And I tried to get their attention and they mocked. And then in the day of their calamity, they called, but I refused to hear. Refused to hear. I cannot imagine needing God to hear me and having Him refuse based on the fact, Terry Angel, you refused to hear me. Now you know what Zechariah was saying to these people in this book right here at 516, 518 B.C., He was saying, folks, look, 75 years earlier, 80 years earlier, 85 years earlier, your forefathers lived in this place. They resided on this soil right here. And God spoke to them, and God spoke to them, and God spoke to them, and they stopped their ears and they pulled away their shoulder and their heart got hard. And God is Zechariah is saying to the crowd he's speaking to, you better learn something from history. Don't repeat that. Don't repeat those mistakes. And I'm saying to you here, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in the year 2012, that we as New Testament Christians can make the same horrible mistake. If your husband snores, put your earplugs in. If the guy you go hunting with can't sleep because he snores so loud, put your earplugs in. But when God speaks, friend, listen. Take it. Hear it. Act on it. Act on it with a soft heart like that young lady did this past Wednesday. And let me say this morning, I'm done. Especially in the matter of salvation. Especially in the matter of salvation. By that, if you don't know for sure that if you die, you will go to heaven, please, if you have heard God call you to salvation and you have not responded, please, don't plug your ears any longer. Brother Caleb, I didn't even know he didn't know I was going to preach this. I didn't know what his lesson in Sunday school was going to be on this morning. Pardon me. But he told about his Uncle Donnie. That's your dad's brother. Your mama's brother. Grandpa's brother. And Uncle Donnie was not saved, and their family prayed for over 20 years for Donnie to be saved. Fasted every Wednesday, didn't eat, for the purpose of giving special prayer time for Donnie to be saved. Donnie got cancer, and it became very obvious that Donnie wasn't going to live. It was on the last days of his life. Brother Caleb made a special trip to where the man lived. And he went to the aunt's name was Mary. His wife's name was Mary. And he went to the house and said, Uncle Donnie, he said, our family has prayed for you for 20 years. In fact, on Wednesdays, we go without food and pray for you. Would you like to know why we do that? And he got his New Testament out. He started witnessing to Donnie. And he got to the plan of salvation, asking Donnie about where he would spend eternity and how Jesus died on the cross to pay for his sin debt, went to the tomb and rose again to prove he was the Son of God with power. Said, don't you need to be saved? And his wife spoke up and said, he's a good man. And Brother Caleb looked at his aunt and he said, Aunt Mary, Donnie will not stand before God based on your opinion of him. Donnie got up and went in the house. And so Caleb turned his attention to his aunt. Aunt Mary tried to talk to her for a little bit. Donnie came back outside and sat down. And Caleb looked at him. This is sad. Caleb looked at him and said, Donnie, won't you be saved? And he said, Caleb, I can't. I can't. I've said no so many times. I can't. You say you believe that, Brother Terry? I do. Because you don't get saved when you want to. You get saved when God says, get saved. You come when the Spirit of God moves you. You come when the Spirit of God works on your heart. You don't just walk into the throne room and say, okay, God, it's my day to get saved. That doesn't happen. God speaks and God draws and God pulls. He says, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me, get saved. And friend, if that's going on in your heart right now, there's a pulling and a drawing to God. This is the time to say yes. This is the time. And I will tell you something. When you get to that place, it doesn't matter who's sitting next to you. It doesn't matter who's down the pew. It doesn't matter who's sitting across the auditorium. What matters is how quick can I get there? How quick can I get there? No, if God is speaking to you about anything, don't plug your ears, but if he's speaking to you about salvation, by all means, don't plug your ears. The wrong time to plug your ears is when God speaks. Are you old enough to remember the E.F. Hutton commercial? When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Wouldn't that be wonderful if it were true about God? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, would you please speak to our hearts this morning, still us, and I pray that your Spirit will draw us close to you today. God, I pray that You'll do a work in our hearts, please. If there's somebody away from You this morning, oh God, lost in sin, eternally destined for that place called hell, please draw them to You this morning. Please, Holy Spirit, speak to hearts, I pray, all over this room. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask a couple, three questions this morning. Would You give me Your ear? Just listen while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But Brother Angel, Pastor, I heard the message today, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I'm saved, and I don't want a hard heart. And I was reminded this morning of how important it is to be tender and hear the message from God, from His book. Pray for me. I needed that message this morning. Would you lift your hand this morning all over the room? God bless you. Amen. I appreciate that. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Thank you so very much. Many, many hands. I hope that you'll speak. I hope that you'll use the opportunity this morning to come to the altar and speak back to God if He was so kind to speak to you. Let me ask this question today, Pastor. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know for a Bible reason that I'm on my way to heaven. All I ask you to do is be honest. That's all I ask. Would you please be honest? Pastor, I'm saved. I know for a Bible reason I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand, please, in the room this morning? Be honest about it. Don't look around. What is it? Thank you very much. You may take your hands down. Now, is there somebody here today that said, Pastor, I was honest. I didn't raise my hand just then because I don't know that I'm saved. But I will raise it and ask you to pray for me. I'm not going to call your name. I'm not going to make a public deal about it. Just ask you, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand just then. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. God bless you. God bless you. Is there somebody else? God bless you. I see your hand this morning. God bless you. I appreciate your honesty. Those of you that just raised the hand, nobody else, just those that raised the hand, look at me just for a minute back here and here and over here. The most important thing you'll ever do in life is know that you're saved on your way to heaven for a Bible reason. I sat in church like you folks did 36 years ago. Somebody preached up to me and gave me the opportunity to find out how to be saved, how I could know I was on my way to heaven. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. We have men to talk to men. We have ladies to talk to ladies. Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. If you're not sure that you're saved and you're concerned about it, why don't you come right now and just slip out of your seat and come right down here to the front, right here. We'll have somebody talk to you. That's right. God bless you over here. Would you come? We'll just have somebody talk to you, show you some scriptures. We'd love to this morning. We have ladies to talk to ladies. You're going to need a couple of ladies this morning. Would you come? Be happy to talk to you just right out of the Bible while we wait this morning. Give you the opportunity. Is God calling? Is God speaking to your heart? Is He? Is He? Is God speaking to you? You feel that still small voice in your heart this morning? We'd love to have somebody show you how to be saved. That's fine. We can show you. We can show you how to be saved. Most important thing you'll ever do in this life. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe there's somebody here today who would say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. And you'd be honest about that this morning. You've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Would you raise your hand? I've not been baptized yet. God bless you. If you know this is the time, you know you have to be obedient to Christ. Now's the time. Why don't you come? While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now, come on and we can help you get prepared for baptism this morning and be obedient to Christ. Be a great thing for you to do this morning while we wait. You can come now if you'd like to be. That's right. God bless you. And just follow the Lord in believer's baptism. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, if you know that you're saved and baptized and this is the place that God wants you to be a member, you've talked to one of us about it, it'd be a great time to join, or maybe you need to make an appointment. You can use the altar for that purpose this morning as well. I'm going to pray. My Father in heaven, thank You for Your word. Thank You, God, for the truth of it. And I pray, dear God, that You'd help us to draw nigh to You. Now that we've heard from You this morning, help us to listen and hear and be obedient and have a tender heart. So, God, would You help us this morning? Thank You for these that have come. Lord, may the lost heart be drawn to Christ today is my prayer. Now, thank You for it, God. May the folks raise the hand, may they be drawn to draw closer to You today. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Some have come to be saved. Some have come to be baptized. You raised your hand at the very beginning. And God spoke to your heart. Maybe it's your time to come. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies are playing this morning.